Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Good morning, church, and as well as all guests and visitors tuning in to our online service this morning. Greetings from PJEFC. We actually moved back to the premises from Zoom this morning, so we're really excited. I will be continuing this morning from Dr. Hui Ming's sermon last week and focusing on the second part of Exodus chapter 12. As I shared this morning, this morning's sermon entitled Delivered Out of Darkness, I would now like us to turn to Exodus chapter 12, verses 29 to 51. And I will be reading from the ESV. Exodus 12, verse 29. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." The Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." So the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading bowls being bound up in their cloaks on their shoulders. The people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. And the people of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. A mixed multitude also went up with them, and very much livestock, both flocks and herds. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough and they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. The time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So this same night is a night of watching kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the statute of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it, but every slave that is bought for money may eat of it after you have circumcised him. No foreigner or hired worker may eat of it. If a stranger shall sojourn with you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. Then he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. There shall be one law for the native and for the stranger who sojourns among you. It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside the house, and you shall not break any of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it." All the people of Israel did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts. What a dramatic passage. Let us pause for a moment and imagine the scene in your head with me. The 10th plague has struck Egypt. Every firstborn in the land of Egypt was dead. The firstborn in the palace to the firstborn of the captive of the dungeon in the dungeon was dead as well. Even the firstborn of the livestock was not spared. It was in the night, and there was wailing all over Egypt. In every house, someone was dead. Such was the devastation of the 10th plague. In response, Pharaoh now summons Moses and Aaron immediately and urged them to leave Egypt. In the midst of death and darkness, the Israelites were finally released from their slavery. Exodus 12 verses 33 describes that the Egyptians were urgent and wanted to send out the Israelites out urgently. Having seen sudden death in their homes, they were also now afraid for their own lives should the Israelites remain. Verse 33 says, the Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we shall all be dead. 34, the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading bowls being bound up in their cloaks on their shoulders. So the Israelites is seen as, and they were hurried to the point of taking the dough before it was leavened, and they even tied the kneading bowls to their cloaks on their shoulders in a hurry to go leave. It was as if they were leaving in such haste that they were just grabbing whatever food that was available and getting out to leave. Perhaps they were afraid their captors would change their minds. Exodus 12, verses 35 to 36 says, the people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. As we read in these verses, we need to remember that the Israelites were slaves. They had no material wealth, and they had nothing, not even clothing. However, we see that other than the dough and the kneading bowls in their cloaks, they now had silver and gold jewelry and clothing that was given to them by the Egyptians. How did they get these items? The Egyptians literally gave it to them when they were asked for it by the Israelites, who were their slaves. This is an amazing fact, where the mighty people of Egypt plundered other nations, their slaves were now plundering them. There is a turning of the table. The Egyptians were not leaving Egypt penniless or clothless. They were not leaving with just unleavened dough and kneading bowls. They had silver and gold jewelry as well as clothing. They were living with dignity. Why? Because the Lord had given his people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Verse 37 says, and the people of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, beside women and children, and a multitude of also went with them, and very much livestock, both flocks and herds. This is now the beginning of their freedom. The Exodus now begins. These two verses mention who the people were that were a part of the Exodus. There are about five categories mentioned here. The first category is the 600,000 men who were on foot. Other than that, there was also women, children, a mixed multitude who were probably non-Israelites, and livestock, which is flocks and herds. What a sight they must have been as they left Egypt, leaving in the middle of the night in such great number. Exodus 12 verse 39 says, and they baked unleavened cakes of the dough that they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. The departure of the Israelites was so sudden, plague after plague has happened. Pharaoh still did not let them go. Now at the 10th plague, they were suddenly told to leave, to the point that they did not have time to make preparations food-wise. This is emphasized again by the fact that all they had to eat was the unleavened cakes of the dough that they had brought out of Egypt in haste. Exodus 12, verse 40. The time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So this same night is a night of watching kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations. These verses show that the chapter of the Israelites' time in Egypt is now closing. They have lived in Egypt for a very significant time, 430 years. They first lived there in Genesis 47, verses 11, where it says, Joseph settled his father and his brothers and gave them a position in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. This shows that they first began settling in Egypt, and now they are leaving all that is familiar to them. Verse 42 is very significant, and it says, it was a night of watching by the Lord. This verse is to emphasize that the Lord, or Yahweh, was watching them during this significant event of the Israelites' departure. He was the one to bring them to the land of Egypt, and now he's bringing them out, like a shepherd watching over his sheep. What does this passage have to do with us today? Now, many of us would agree that this last 1.5 years has not been easy, especially since MCO began in March last year, as COVID affects our world and continues to do so. For some of us, if not all of us, this may have been a very tough season as we deal with the unexpected, deal with things that are beyond our control, face uncertainties, and try to find some normalcy in the midst of constant changes. The good thing seems to be muted. Celebrations, freedom of travel, and food fellowship are not the same, as things cannot be done physically together. Even as a church, many of us has not seen each other face to face since last March, other than online or through a call or a text. The bad thing seems to be stronger, whether it's loss of income, be it partial or full, trying to find a way to pay our workers, working from home, families struggling to being cooped up in the home together all the time, hearing of people and loved ones being affected by COVID, whether by being sick or dying, struggling with the changes in our government and uncertainties in our political leadership and situation, being separated from our loved ones, being isolated, hearing bad news one after another, whether in the world or even personally. On top of all of these, some of us may continue to struggle with cancer, sickness, addictions, and mental health issues. Some of us are affected all the time, and I hear news of this. While for others, some of us feel it more at certain times, and then we seem okay, and we seem to go through this in an up and down like waves. Just a few days ago, I went out to get a much-needed haircut. I had a conversation with my hairdresser, whom I met for the first time. She shared that while she was glad that the shop could finally open again, she knew of friends who were hairdressers who could no longer open or work. She herself was struggling with her employer not being able to pay her during the last few months as the shop was not in operation. A few times during the conversation, she asked me, how long more would this last? Would the shop have to close again, just like it has during the past year after being open only for a few months? As a people of God, we too may ask, where is God in all of this? Does he care? Is there even an end to this season? How long more, Lord? How can we be giving hope to others when we ourselves feel helpless and feel hopeless at times? story in Exodus reminds us that the Lord did deliver the Israelites who had lived in Egypt for 430 years. While the first few years of their stay was a relief from a famine in Canaan, they were eventually enslaved by Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 1, where they had to do harsh labor, had their sons killed at birth by being ordered by Pharaoh to be thrown into the river Nile. This went on for many years. In the midst of slavery, they groaned and they cried out to God, who was concerned for them, as evidenced in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. They also went through a power struggle between Pharaoh and Moses, who represented God. In the end, the Lord did deliver his people. This story reminds us that just as God had delivered the Israelites, God will surely deliver us as his people. 2 months ago, I attended a silent retreat just to have some quality time with God and just to recalibrate spiritually. In the midst of the silence, I was remembered that God is still busy doing his redemptive work in this time, even during the times where I may not be able to see what he is doing, even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of sickness and even death. His deliverance will surely come, whether it takes days, weeks, months, or years. For the Israelites who had their freedom from the Egyptians, this was a passage that showed just the beginning of their redemptive journey. They have yet to face the Red Sea, wander through the desert, and face the other challenges ahead. They were delivered. They were freed from slavery. Yet the journey of deliverance would still take years to the day where they could reach the promised land and finally settle into their new home. Many of us have been saved by grace, and yet we are still waiting for the day where we will meet the Lord face to face. In the meantime, we must remember that our deliverance will come, and we are still in that process of the journey. And in this journey, are we still looking to God as our deliverer and savior? Or have we lost sight in focusing on the storm around us? We need to remember God is still a God who still watches over his people. As the Israelites were being set free from their years of slavery and as they departed from Egypt, verse 42 states, it was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Now we may feel like we live in a world of unending waiting in this season. But this reminds us to remember that there is a God who keeps watch over his people. His watching is not a passive viewing of a distant observer. It is an active vigilance. The Lord was keeping watch over his people, like a shepherd over his flock, keeping watch that night to ensure his promises turn into reality as the Israelites' journey out of Egypt. As his people, we need to remember that the Lord is still watching over us. We need to remember that this hope is at the heart of the gospel, that we do know this God who saves his people, that he is a God who is still faithful, that he is a God who is just. He is a God who still fulfills his promises, and he is a God who still provides. I pray that this morning, as we remember this story of deliverance of Egypt out of darkness, that we too remember to look beyond our dark times and to look to God. To not forget that he is still in the midst of the bad news that we see. When the time seems challenging and discouraging, we must remember that he's still watching over us, that he still remains faithful, that he is just, that he will still keep his promises to us and that he will provide, even though sometimes it may not seem like it. Thirdly, we need to remember God's past acts of deliverance. How do we remind ourselves of the truth that God is watching over us and that he will deliver his people? The Israelites were reminded to remember the deliverance of God from Egypt yearly. They were to celebrate the Passover feast with the unleavened bread. They were to keep watch that night to remember that God watched over them as they were being delivered from slavery in Egypt. As I mentioned a year ago, I was struggling with depression for a season. It took many years to be healed, and I even had a relapse several years later, and I was healed again. One way I choose to remember the Lord's redemptive work in my life is by celebrating it on my birthday. Every year on my birthday, especially for the first few hours of the day in the morning, I usually try to spend time just with God in the quietness. Most times, I may even choose to go away somewhere a little bit different or special. This is to remind me, this time is to remind me that where I once felt hopeless and despair of life, that now I choose to spend the first moments of my birthday to give thanks for life, that the life God has given me, and for healing, and to celebrate God's redemptive work in my life as I remember his healing and his bringing me out of darkness. How do we celebrate our deliverance from darkness? How do you remember the special saving acts of God in your life? Is there something that you may do yearly? As Christians, we are also called to remember Jesus' redemptive act on the cross as often as possible. In our church, we celebrate it twice a month by celebrating the Holy Communion on the first week and the third week of the month, and we will also be doing that shortly. Before we move on to the Holy Communion, I would just like us to recap these few points as we reflect on this passage. Number one is that God will surely deliver his people. We need to remember that in our dark times, such as this, God will surely deliver us. Whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's the week to come, the month to come, or the year, or many years more, God will surely deliver us. We need to remember God is a God who still watches over his people. We're not a people who are left alone. He still watches us as we go through and act out his redemption in our lives. And we need to remember God's past act of deliverance, whether through our own personal celebrations or celebrating the Holy Communion. As I close the sermon, I would just like to remind us of the song as we think and remember God's redemption in our lives. And this is a beautiful song saying, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace." Let us pray. Father God, I just really want to thank you that, Lord, through this simple passage, you remind us that in the midst of darkness, in the midst of death, that, Lord, you can do your deliverance. And Lord, as we struggle in this time, sometimes to see your grace, Lord, help us to remember that you are still at work, that, Lord, you still love us and you still care, and that, Lord, you are still at work in this world, even though at times it may not seem like it. Help us to remember your amazing grace that, Lord, you have saved us, that we were blind, but now we are found. Sorry, that we were lost, but now that we are found, and that we were blind, but now we see. And so, Father, we want to thank you that, Lord, you have set us free from the chains that have bound us. And Lord, even though sometimes it may seem like, Lord, that those chains still exist, help us remember that you have set us free and that, Lord, you have ransomed us. And so, Father, we thank you for your love. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we prepare to celebrate your death and your resurrection, Father, I pray that, Lord, you would just minister to us this morning. Father, for those of us who are far away from you or down right now, Father, will you draw us close to you, Lord? Father, I pray that, Lord, you would just minister to your people, especially those, Lord, who feel like they are being cooped up in their houses every single day. And Lord, when your people have seemed to lost their purpose in life. And so, Father, I want to pray and just commit ourselves to you this morning as your people. Lord, give us strength to rise up, Lord. And that, Lord, give us strength to know that, Lord, you are still walking with us. That, Lord, you are watching over us as we journey with you, as you write your story of redemption in our lives as well. And so, Father, I just really want to commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we now prepare to take the Holy Communion, those of you who are not Christians or do not profess to follow Jesus, I ask that you refrain from taking it as it would not hold any meaning for you. For those of you who are joining me in this time of remembrance, I encourage you to take the time to prepare the elements of the bread and the wine if you have not done so. As we come to the table this morning, I would just like us to take a moment just to reflect. How is your relationship with God and with others this morning? In a few moments, I'll just get us to just have a time of quietness to pray and examine ourselves. If you are far from God this morning, I would encourage you to take this time to say a prayer of repentance and to ask God to cleanse you of your sins and to draw near and to ask Him to draw near to you once again. If you have a disagreement with someone who is near to you right now, maybe you would like to take this moment to ask for forgiveness. Father, as we come to your table, for those of us who are far, Father, I ask that, Lord, you will be so real to us in this moment. Father, we ask for your forgiveness and repent of our sins this morning. Will you just cleanse us by your blood as we come to your table, as we remember who you are? Father, I pray that, Lord, you would just be so real to us, especially those of us who are really struggling this morning. Father, as we come to your table to take your bread and the wine, Father, we want to remember you and look to you beyond our own struggles. Help us, Lord, to remember that there is hope in you as we take the elements shortly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As mentioned earlier in the sermon, the Lord has delivered his people. He has redeemed his people. He has set his people free. As the Israelites celebrate the Passover to remember his redemption, we now celebrate the Holy Communion to remember his deliverance in our lives. We remember in these times that he has come to cleanse us from our sin with his blood. We remember Jesus' work on the cross for us and the love God has for us. We remember his death and his celebrate his resurrection. We are reminded to share his love towards us and to others who still need him. We remember that his kingdom is here and he's coming again soon. 1 Corinthians chapter verse 23 says, "For I have received from the Lord what I have also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just going to break. Let us now eat this bread, symbolizing Jesus' body, reminding us that Jesus has died for us. Verse 25 says, "In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.' Let us now drink of the cup, which symbolizes the blood of Christ that was shed for us, so that we may have life instead of death." Let us pray. Father God, we give you the thanks for this time that we can come together as your people to celebrate and to remember your amazing love for us. Thank you for rescuing us while we were far from you. We thank you for your love that is faithful. Help us to proclaim to others of your love through our acts and our words in this time. Just as we have been saved by grace, we ask that those who do not know you can come to know Jesus, so that your hope, your love, your peace, and your joy, even in this time of darkness. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close the service, may we be a people to remember that our Lord is still watching us and that we still have hope as we go out from here. I would now like us to stand or be in a posture to receive the benediction. "And now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, set us free and lift us from the dark valley of despair to the bright mountain of hope, from the midnight of desperation to the daybreak of joy. To him be power and authority forever and ever. Amen." The service is now over. I would encourage you that if you would like to be ministered to or would like a time of prayer, just click on the prayer request button and one of our hosts will be willing to pray for you. In the meantime, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons.